From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer. For the past two decades, saxophone player Ted Nash has been the quintessential sideman, blending into the reed sections of large jazz orchestras. But with two recent recordings featuring his own bands, Nash is stepping into the spotlight. From New York, Tom Vitale has this profile.
The centerpiece of the Nash family crest might as well be a musical staff. Ted Nash was born in Los Angeles in 1959, where his father Dick Nash was a studio trombonist playing on TV and film scores, including Henry Mancini's Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I used to go and hang out with him in the studio and sit behind my uncle and watch them play this music, which, you know, I guess we take for granted. But sitting there in the studio and hearing them play was such a thrill. Mary Hartman. I mean, I've gone to so many sessions with my father, movies, Hank Mancini, all these big sound scores. And that's what I thought I was going to be doing when I was 12 and 13. But then the jazz bug hit me.
Ted Nash's uncle and namesake wrote a book about tenor saxophone technique. During the swing era, he played with the Les Brown Band of Renown. The younger Ted Nash has taken his family background and his own experience in big bands and rearranged the elements for a new generation.
His music is very unusual.
Wynton Marsalis played trumpet on Nash's 1999 recording, Rhyme and Reason, a CD that featured a double quartet, four jazz instruments, and a classical string quartet.
Well thought out, well constructed. He's a craftsman too. Because he can hear so well, his music doesn't have a lot of noise in it. You know, it's very well thought out and ambitious.
Nash's new recording features his reeds along with tuba, trombone, accordion, violin, and drums. It's an odd lineup, but Nash says he wasn't just trying to be different.
I put these instruments together because they were the instruments that I felt best expressed the music that I was hearing.
Nash says when he's composing, the best way to get in touch with the melodies in his head is not to think about it too much.
The more I have to work at something, the less successful it is. It doesn't flow. It doesn't sound good, you know. So something like Sidewalk Meeting, which is actually just the most purest of melodies, it's just very simple. It's something you might be singing and humming when you're walking down the street without even realizing. And that's like the first half. And then you come back and you do it again, but this time, again, this is not an intellectual choice, but just something intuitive. You change it a little bit. And the only thing there is just to go ahead and capture it. Capture what you're hearing and put it on paper. And then bring it to some people that you like to play with and have them interpret it.
Ted Nash has been composing since he was a teenager. He studied classical music and learned to play a variety of clarinets and saxophones. His interest in different kinds of music was also evident early on. He landed his first job when he was still in high school, a gig with Lionel Hampton. He made his first recording when he was 18 as a member of Louis Belson's band.
I had considered going to some music schools, different ones like Berkeley, but by the time I was 18, I was already working professionally. I just wanted to play. I wanted to hear something different. I moved to New York City and just kind of hit the streets.
In New York, Nash joined the Mel Lewis Jazz Orchestra and stayed with that band for 10 years. Ted Nash learned a lot sitting in that reed section between Dick Oates and Joe Lovano. He says he learned that a musician can develop a distinctive voice even within the structured arrangements of a big band. Since then, Nash has been touring with the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra. That's exposed him to a wide range of styles, both in the music the orchestra plays and the music he hears in different cities they visit. Critic Gary Giddens says you can hear all of Nash's influences on his new recording, Sidewalk Meeting.
You can say, well, gee, that reminds me of Kurt Weill, or that reminds me of tangos, or that reminds me of klezmer music, or Ellington, or and all of these things are very deliberately woven in. The trick is to make them compatible in such a way that instead of sounding like a stew in which you just simply cut up a lot of carrots and potatoes and thrown them into the pot, that it comes out in a kind of seamless way, that it really the music itself has a personality. And I think in the best selections on the record, for example, his adaptation of Debussy's Premier Rhapsody, he really pulls that off.
Ted Nash spends most of his time playing music. In addition to working with his own groups and his regular gig with the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, he is a founding member of the Jazz Composers Collective, a group of like-minded composers dedicated to exploring new directions in music. He says their brand of experimental music works because they're having fun playing it.
You have to be able to draw the audience in. I think it's our responsibility as musicians to create an audience that's going to like our music. And we do that by liking our music ourselves. There's so many people out there that have a negative approach to everything. Man, why can't I sell records? Why can't I get a gig? Why can't, everything's negative. Instead of just saying, well, I love to play.
It's a good thing Ted Nash does. Often when he puts on concerts with the Composers Collective or his own band, he loses money. For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.